My tears are falling, 'cause you've taken her away. And though it really hurts me so, there's something that I've gotta say. Take good care of my baby.
The unmistakable voice of Bobby V, Fargo Zone. It was 55 years ago today, the day the music died, the Buddy Holly plane crash that took the Big Bopper and also Richie Valens. And Bobby V stepped on stage that night at the Moorhead Armory and took their place. And the rest, as they say, is history. And joining us tonight is Tommy V, who is the son of Bobby V. Not only remembering that night 55 years ago, but something very special happening today. The release of a new album, Bobby V, The Adobe Sessions. And Tommy, thank you so much for joining us here on KFGO.
It's great to be with you, Bobby.
Now, officially, the CD physically isn't out, but it is up and ready on iTunes, right?
Yeah, it actually hit cdbaby.com today, iTunes on Wednesday, and then Amazon and the physical release will follow shortly thereafter.
I gotcha. Let me ask, you know, folks in this area are, you know, sometimes because he's been gone so long, I mean, not living here for so long, people kind of forget that Bobby is a Fargo native, but do you guys ever chat? Did your dad ever chat with you about the day in 1959, this day 55 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I was on the road with him for 23 years playing bass for him and road managing him. And you know, that story would come up a lot in interviews and it was probably a fan favorite question too. So, he gave us, I got pretty much the whole scoop on that night. And, it was a thrill and it was scary. He kind of compared it to almost like a rock and roll wake is what he said it was. You know, people were so shocked and shell shocked and stunned by this tragedy that had just happened that, you know, and everybody just kind of showed up and it was not a very joyful night, but they kind of soldiered through, you know.
Now, is it urban legend, but there were supposed to be two shows that night, and because of the tragedy, they did it all in one, so they crammed that building just to the hilt?
Yeah, they just, you know, got as many people in there as they could and went on with the show. And I mean, that has always fascinated me. I mean, if you think of that in today's terms and take, you know, three of the biggest stars of today and have a tragedy like that happen, there's no way the show would go on, you know?
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, it's just a sign of such a different time.
Wow. The 1959, I mean, it was a special year, obviously, for your father. How did he, was there somebody there to discover him and say, hey, I like that kid, let's put him on a record, or how did that work?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way, everything happened fast for him, but also kind of slow initially. That night at the Moorhead Armory, there was an agent in the crowd, a guy by the name of Bing Bingston was in the crowd. And he liked what he heard and offered to put Dad and my Uncle Bill Veline, in the shadows, the rest of the shadows out on the road, doing some dates. And you know, that led to a recording session at Soma in Minneapolis, which is where Susie Baby and Flying High and those first sides were recorded. And then Susie Baby kind of made its way to my dad's aunt and uncle in San Diego on the West Coast. They've been talking about old school. And my dad's aunt ran it around and got it got some attention from Liberty Records with it. And by the time she had done that, the song had gone to number one in Minneapolis, and it had also gone to number one in San Diego. So they took a chance and signed him.
There was a lot of legwork back in those days, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the band, you know, my dad and the Shadows would, you know, they literally hopped in an old Buick and drove from town to town and knocked on the door at the radio station and introduced themselves and tried to get the record played. And that's what led to Susie Baby becoming number one in the Midwest, was really on the strength of them just driving from town to town, radio station to radio station. And that's also something that just doesn't happen anymore.
I was going to say, I've never seen that. I think I saw it once, maybe back when in my early days in the late 70s. That happened one time. I think Joan Jett stopped out for some reason or another. But that's that's interesting. Well, when Bobby didn't he have some relation too in his career with Snuffy Garrett?
Yeah, Snuffy Garrett produced all of the early records. So actually, most of the hits. all except for Come Back When You Grow Up. Snuffy was working for Liberty Records, and when Dad signed with Liberty, it was basically Snuffy that wanted to sign him, and then became a producer and produced everything, you know, Taking Care of My Baby, Rubber Ball, Run to Him, right on down the line, all the way up until Come Back When You Grow Up, Girl. Snuffy was a originally from Lubbock, Texas, and was a friend of Buddy Holly's. And he heard, I mean, aside from the story of Dad filling in that night, there were obvious similarities with my dad's voice and with Buddy's voice. And that was, I think, what attracted Snuffy to my dad. And then, of course, as soon as they signed him, they did everything they could. They didn't want to make a Buddy Holly sound-alike guy, so they did everything they could to separate him from that. But, you know, the first record they recorded for Liberty was in Clovis, New Mexico, in the studio where Buddy recorded all his great records. So
that's interesting. That's cool. Your dad did have a little bit of a, what do they call it, a little Buddy Holly hiccup, you know, when he was doing the lyrics?
He did that, and it, that did carry through into some of the hits. I mean, you can hear a little bit of that on Rubber Ball. I mean, it, you know, you can hear it throughout his career, and that was always kind of his tip of the hat to Buddy. I mean, my dad, first and foremost, was a Buddy Holly fan, like everybody else was. And, you know, on the night of that show, 55 years ago tonight, he had a ticket for that show, and he was planning on being in the crowd. He was not planning on performing. And, you know, and it's just through a super surreal, you know, turn of events, he wound up on stage that night.
Wow. By the way, does your dad ever talk about the movies he made? He made, like, what, 4, 5, 6 of them, something like that?
Yeah. I've seen them all, and they're all great movies for that time period. You know, they work well with everything else that was going on. You know, my dad liked acting. He was never comfortable as an actor. He was always comfortable as a singer and a live music performer. Never really comfortable as an actor, but he enjoyed the experience. And when he started acting, they put him with an acting coach, and that acting coach was Leonard Nimoy, Star Trek fame and all that. So that was a thrill for him to get to know Leonard and learn, you know, whatever he could about acting from Leonard.
It's amazing. I think that's, I've known your dad for a long time, and I think that's the first I've ever heard that story, Leonard Nimoy.
So if you go into my dad's study in his house right now, there's an autographed picture of Leonard Nimoy on the wall with Elton John and Bob Dylan and everybody else. There's Leonard.
I have to back up just a bit. This is another urban legend, but I was told once that Bobby was offered this diamond ring, turned it down, or Snuff turned it down, and Gary Lewis got it.
Yeah, it was offered to my dad first, and there was a couple of songs that were offered to Dad first, and that he turned down. I mean, there were several, but there were two that went on to be big hits for other people. One of them was this diamond ring, and Snuffy went on to produce Gary Lewis's version of that record. Gary was also on Liberty Records, and Snuffy is the producer of that record. And the other one was Latest Flame for Elvis. That was actually written for my dad, and he didn't hear it. I don't know if it wasn't a good demo or what, but he just didn't hear it. And so they passed on it, and Elvis recorded it. And of course, it went on to be a huge hit for Elvis. So the ones that got away.
Wow. Hey, listen, Tommy, I'm sorry, but we're going to take a break here right now. And I know I'm doing a lot of reminiscing here. But when we come back, I do want to talk about this new album, 55 years ago today, the day the music died. But like I say, it's kind of a rebirth. Bobby's got a new album out. And we'll talk about that with you in just a moment, okay?
Sounds great.
Back.
I'm like a rubber ball, baby, that's all that I am.
12 minutes before the hour, and this is Nighttime Live. Bob Harris along with Tommy V, son of Bobby V. And by the way, I was supposed to mention that we had Gunner and Matthew on. They were here from they're on the Jack and Sandy show earlier this year when they were over at the North Dakota State Fair or the North Coast Fest. And
sure.
they mentioned you. Yeah, said, yeah, you work with them for a while, right?
Yeah, I still do work with them. They do a large number. Well, they do a ton of shows throughout the course of the year. A lot of them they do as a duo, which is what they were doing in Minot. But there's a large number of them that they do with a full band. And when they have a full band, I'm the bass player. My brother Jeff is the drummer, and David Morgan from Richie Stone Canyon Band, who was on a leave of absence when the plane went down, is the keyboard player. So it's a really fun band.
By the way, last time I saw you, you were playing the stand-up bass. Do you play both?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I play both. You know, on the Ricky show is fun for me because the first half of the show is the old stuff and it's all stand up, and then it gets into the Garden Party era and I get to play all electric on that stuff.
That's neat.
Yeah.
First of all, this new album is called Bobby V, The Adobe Sessions. We have a recording device here called the Adobe, but that's not what this is about, is it?
No. It's a reference to my parents' home in Tucson, Arizona, which is an Adobe home.
And it was all done in the garage?
Yeah. We talk about his career coming full circle. When the Shadows played, 55 years ago tonight at the Moorhead Armory, they had only played in the garage up until that night. They were a garage band. And, they agreed to do the show and they went down and the rest of, as they say, is history. But his career, after traveling the world and selling all those records, we wound up in the garage of their brand new home in Tucson, recording this record. And we didn't really intend to make a record. This all followed my father's diagnosis with Alzheimer's. And, that was such, shocking and shattering news for the family. And we didn't really know what to do, so we kind of did what we've done all of our lives, and that is we just piled everybody onto the bus and rolled on down to Tucson. And we brought through a bunch of instruments in and threw some recording gear in. And we set all this stuff up in the garage and thought, well, we'll just record this stuff for the grandkids and just to have. And as it went, it was sounding so good that we just realized that it had to at some point become an album.
I found this fascinating, though, and it's just the strange thing of how the human body works once in a while, but I understand your father has some difficulty speaking once in a while, but that the music flowed pretty good, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the music came great, and he's still playing guitar. My father's issue is, he's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, but the real serious issue for him is something called aphasia, and that's when you kind of lose the ability to communicate. His memory is still basically fine, but he'll get into a conversation and he'll know what he wants to say, and he just can't find the words. Mm-hmm. So obviously that's why you're talking to me on the phone right now instead of him. It's just really difficult for him.
Talk about the album. What kind of songs? You've got a really big mix of different items on this LP, don't you?
Yeah. It's a wide variety. And again, that comes from, what we started doing when we got into the studio into the garage was we just started playing songs that we've played or listened to all of our lives. It could be campfire songs that Dad would play when we were kids or a lot of them are songs that we used to play on soundcheck for Dad's shows. When we would go in and do a soundcheck, we would play songs that weren't in the show. It was fun for us. When you get to the point where you're touring 100 nights a year or whatever it is, the soundcheck becomes a time to just kind of goof around. So that's what it was. It's just a kind of random sampling of family favorites is really what it is.
There was one song too that he did. It was a Bob Dylan tune, right?
Yeah. He is, since I was a kid, he would always play The Man in Me. This is the Bob Dylan song, The Man in Me. One of many Dylan songs that he liked to play when he was just sitting around playing his guitar. And that one made it onto the record, which was great. And it's a very different but very cool version of the tune.
By the way, in case folks didn't know, your father, and I can't remember who was it. Was it one of your other brothers, I think, was at the Dylan concert down at Midway?
Last summer. Yeah, that was my brother Robbie and my sister Jennifer.
And did he not sing Susie Baby?
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. For anybody who knows Dylan, if you go to Dylan's shows, you know that he never talks to the crowd. He doesn't say good evening. He doesn't say thank you. He doesn't say good night. He just plays his songs and he leaves. And that night, he kind of called my dad out and mentioned that Dad was there and had some really nice things to say. He talked about how he's used to live in the Midwest and toured the world over and performed with everybody from Mick Jagger to Madonna. And the most beautiful person he'd ever been on stage with was Bobby V. And then him and the band played Susie Baby. And my dad had knew that nobody knew this was going to happen. They didn't tell us he was going to do it. And so it really literally brought my dad to tears. It was just such a cool moment for him.
I got such the giggles when I saw the video. Somebody had posted it on Facebook, and I thought, man. And then I guess the next day somebody posted a photograph you, your dad, and Bob Dylan took together. And it's just an amazing relationship those two had.
It's really an interesting deal because the time that Bob Dylan was in my dad's band, it was a very short amount of time. It was like a week. and they did maybe two or three shows, and it didn't work out because, you know, and it was a mutual deal when Bob left the band. He didn't own a piano, and, you know, so they were at the mercy of the pianos that were in the ballrooms, which were never in tune. So they parted ways, and Dylan went on to become Dylan, but he's always had a really soft spot for my dad, and he's always he says in Chronicles that he's always thought of my dad as a big brother, which is funny because Dylan's actually older than my dad. but you know, they've always had a really nice relationship, and it's we're all huge fans of Dylan, so it's a wonderful thing.
I'm just curious, did your dad see him, Bob Dylan, in that car commercial?
Yes, he did see that last night, and he thought, yeah, he got a kick out of it. That thing was so surprising because Dylan's not the kind of guy you'd expect to be a spokesman for anything. So to see him do that kind of caught us all off guard. But it's typical Dylan, you know, just as soon as you think you got him figured out, he completely reinvents himself. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. By the way, there's a video you put out on YouTube. I have that as a link on my Twitter account right now, but I am going to put it on our Facebook page as well. It's Bobby V, the Adobe Sessions, and tell us about this video. I mean, it really almost brings a tear to your eye to see.
Yeah,
as you mentioned, go full circle.
Yeah, I mean that video was created as it's a kind of a typical album promo piece. Whenever any artist released an album, a lot of acts now are doing these videos that kind of in 3 or 4 minutes explain to the industry and the record buying public what the record is, and that's what this was created for. But it's such a powerful story coming from the hive that he had to this Alzheimer's diagnosis that it is a really moving little piece, but it gives you a really good feel for what the record is. I mean, all those tunes that are the background to that video are songs from the record. So
Tommy V here, by the way, Bobby's son on KFGO, and I had to giggle because one of the songs you're doing, you see the clothes dryer running in the background.
Isn't that great? they're washer and dryer in the garage in Tucson, so that's our proof that it's a garage recording right there.
We've talked about your dad's health, but I always have to ask how your mom is doing because she had a lung transplant.
Yeah, we had a crazy couple of years here, and my mom has been dealing with a lung issue for several years. It's an issue that's a kind of a relative of the tuberculosis family, not a contagious thing or anything, but it basically, took her lungs out. And so in June of 2012, she went to Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, and had a lung transplant. And she's doing really well. We just found out this week that she's in the top 30% of lung transplant survivors as far as how well she's doing. Yeah, so she's doing great. And they just got the all clear today to leave for Tucson, so they're going to probably hang around for about another 20 minutes and then hit the road.
the CD is called The Adobe Sessions. Once again, how's it available now? CD Baby? I'm not a computer smart guy here.
Yeah, right. The website is called cdbaby.com, just like it sounds. But the real easy way to get there is to go to bobbyv.com, and there's a CD Baby logo right on the front page. And just click that, and it'll take you right to the record. On Wednesday, it'll be available on iTunes, and hopefully in about 2 weeks, it'll be available through Amazon and your local CD shop if you still have one.
All right. Very good. By the way, I should mention one other thing, too, because we talked about this last time you and I chatted on the air. Maybe it was your brother. But your dad is a pretty doggone good artist.
Yes.
And are you going to have any more shows? We were trying to see if we could get something up in Fargo one of these days.
It's our hope to do an art show up in Fargo. When we did the first art show with him about a year ago, we only released a very small number of the paintings. It was like that were actually for sale. It was only four of them. So there's probably 30 of them all together. So we're hoping to get another. What we were doing is selling prints of them. And my dad would come and hang out and chat with people. So we're hoping maybe in the spring to do another one of those.
Because it's really pretty cool because those four that you're talking about are available at bobbyv.com. I mean, you can see them at bobbyv.com.
Yes, they should be available for sale there, too. If they're not for some reason, just shoot the website an email, and I'll get it, and I'll make sure you get one.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't read the whole thing totally, but I'm sure you're correct on that.
Yeah.
BobbyV.com or BobbyV.net. I didn't know you had two of them, huh?
Yeah, either one will work. Yep.
Okay. Well, what's next for you, Tommy, besides heading down to Tucson? No, you're doing a remodeling job, right?
Yeah, I've got a remodeling job going on at my house, and we're remodeling our studio, and I'm in kind of a quiet period right now on the road. We go out on the road with Matt and Gunnar Nelson again later this month, so really just hanging out and trying to stay warm like everybody else.
Yeah, that's cool. Oh, man. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight here on KFGO and giving us the latest on your dad. And this is really great. 55 years and an album released on the anniversary of his first hitting the stage. And, like I say, Bobby and I have known each other for a long time. And I know he's still got a whole ton of friends up here in Fargo.
Sure.
And we just wish your dad and your mom, Karen, just all the best in the world. You guys have had your hardships in the past. And, we all hope and pray everything goes well for you guys.
Well, thanks. And we know people are praying for them because they both continue to do so well, all things being equal. So, but I know that they would, tell me to send their best to everybody out there that's listening. And thanks for the love and the support. And, they're just going to keep on keeping on.
Hold on one second. I want to talk to you before I hang up, okay?
Yep.
That's Tommy V, the son of Bobby V, here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Once again, BobbyV.com for more information about that new album and also the art. This is KFGO Fargo. It's 9 o'clock.